Psalm number 62 is where we begin our worship this evening. Psalm 62, and again, the opening verses 1 to 6. Let's read some verses in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We can read a couple of verses or so in chapter 2 just to connect things together. In Colossians chapter 2, at verse number 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete. That means filled, completed for a purpose, reached the end goal, completed in him who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the flesh, of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And then in Colossians chapter 3, the opening verses, if then you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And we'll leave that reading there. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, every time we are confronted by the gospel, we pray that we would always remember that we are confronted with good news, not bad news, not damaging, not deceiving, not not misleading, not in any way destructive of our well-being and our best interests. The good news of the gospel, God in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in Christ, made complete in Christ, nothing lacking, nothing more needed to be done, nothing can be taken away, nothing to be changed, nothing to be replaced by something else, never to be repealed in the interests of a higher message. Always and only the gospel, the work and the person and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, O God, and nothing else is the gospel, nothing else in terms even of religions that are similar to the gospel, or religions that perhaps include parts of the gospel, or religions that use gospel language, and religions that have a place even for Jesus Christ amongst other deities and saviors and teachers and examples. The gospel, the unique, the only way, the only truth, the only life given by God by which we can be saved. And so this evening, as we are challenged by the gospel once again, in terms of its appeal to us, its requirements of us, and the blessings promised to us in the gospel, we pray, our gracious Father in heaven, that we would delight in the gospel, that it would be the desire of our hearts to know it better, to remember it more clearly, to practice it more clearly, and to follow Christ more nearly. We pray that the gospel would be to us something not only, as it were, on the fringes of our thinking and activities, but in the very depths of our hearts, the centerpiece of our existence, transforming our personality into the children of God. And so this evening, once again, we pray that the gospel in our midst would be in our hearts, and not simply, as it were, as it perhaps has often been, flowing past us, perhaps at times impressing us, perhaps not impressing us, but never changing us, never convicting us, not only of sin, but convicting us of salvation, never convicting, always held at a distance, always remote, always unknown, always strange, having little impact upon our character and conduct. And we pray that this would not be so. We recognize the times in which we live, where there is a strange lethargy upon the church. We read in history of the gospel history. We read of reformations, not only one reformation, but a number of reformations at different times. We read of revivals, and these things seem to us to be a strange tale, belonging to a different kind of universe. We know nothing of it. We've never seen it. We have not experienced the zeal and the liveliness and heard the messages coming home with that mysterious unction of the Holy Ghost. We have never felt the power of the Holy Spirit working in such a way that we cannot be still and we cannot be silent and we can never be the same again. We confess, O God, that for too long we have drifted around, we have eased along, we have been cozy and comfortable, and we find at times that any message which would disturb our tranquillities are irritants, and we are resentful, and we are angry at times. We confess our hearts are hard. We confess, O God, that they are as hard as the stones, and that only the gospel can change and warm our hearts, tenderize our hearts to the things of Jesus Christ. So we pray that we would be tenderized as we gather under the gospel this evening, O God. This is our prayer for God's glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read in Philippians chapter 3, and reading through the whole chapter, one of the greatest chapters, in my opinion, in the whole of Scripture. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has something whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, our manner of living, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And the intimations, of course, are the usual ones. Wednesday at 7 o'clock we shall meet again, God willing, and again next Lord's Day, 10:30. And 6 o'clock in the evening, and the offering now will be received. Well, let us sing the remaining verses of Psalm number 62. At verse 7, we sing on to the end of the psalm.